Rabbi, I saw a very nice story today of the Harik Divrei Chaim. Before we move on with this, with the further halachos in Hilchos Sukkah, Rabbi Yisai, I was very touched by this story. I think it's a very nice story. The Divrei Chaim, the Harik Tzanzerov, he was approached by a Yid. So the following story happened. There was two Yidin who were both very wealthy individuals, very wealthy Yidin. Very wealthy, both of them, and they made a shidduch between his son Choshev Bocha, best Bocha in Yeshiva, etc., etc., and the other person's daughter, the best daughter, etc., etc., and the shidduch and Inva Agefen, Mazel Tov, very, very nice. Both very, very wealthy families, very, very philanthropic, very, very nice. Choshev, very wealthy families. And what happened was they made a date of the chasana, and they got the caterers, and they got the hall and everything organized, etc., etc. But as we say in plain Yiddish, the day happened that the other guy got into financial trouble. One thing led to another, and one of the two sides got into deep trouble. Side of the color got into financial turbulence, as we call it, and he lost a lot of money. Just about managed to keep his house and keep his estate, but everything else went down, was gone. And he obviously wasn't able to fulfill his commitments towards the young couple. They were talking about a new house and chasna, etc. He wasn't able to do any of these expenses. So the other guy came up to the Divrei Chaim and he says, "What should I do? Should I break off the shidduch or not?" He tells an old story. He says, "Should I break off the shidduch or not? You know, we had planned." You disagree. He said, "Yeah, we had plans, and I want to look after my children and everything. Our plans, and should we break off the shidduch because money's gone and he's unable to? It's a mekachtos, as we say. I can't hold everything. You know, it's on him to do half, and he's not able to. Perhaps it's b'shet and whatever it is, and." And Divrei Chaim listened very carefully, and he said, "I'm so happy you're telling me this story. I'm so happy you're coming to me and telling me this." And I said, "All right, okay, sure, but what does Divrei Chaim advise?" He said, "I'm so happy you've come and told me this." He said, I heard, but what does the Rav say? Should I go ahead with the shidduch or should I break the shidduch? What should we do?" And for the third time, Divrei Chaim said, "I'm so pleased you're telling me, I hear the story you're telling me, I hear, I'm very pleased that you're coming to me and telling me the story like this." And then he asked, "But what does Divrei Chaim mean?" Well, again, he kept on repeating himself. Divrei Chaim also kept repeating. So, "What do you mean?" So Divrei Chaim explained as follows, and he says, "Harik Divrei Chaim, listen, are you not happy? Listen to what you're saying. You're not happy that you're the one telling me the story the way it is. Imagine it would be the other side coming and telling me the story, vice versa, that you are the one who lost all your fortune, you lost all the money, and you lost everything, and he would be coming to me crying and say, 'What should he do? Should he break off the shidduch or not?' So you should be happy that Baruch Hashem, you've still got the money, and you should be happy, Baruch Hashem, you're the one asking the question as opposed to him. And obviously, you should not break the shidduch, of course not. You should be happy that you are in the situation, you're still able to fulfill your part and your commitment, you're able to support a young couple." Very, very nice. Very nice way of looking at it. And I thought it was a very, very, very sweet story. Rabbi says, Simon Tov Reish Chav Tes. We discussed the items which do qualify as a schach. And we will be learning a little bit more about this. Imitz Hashem, there's a few more halachas about the schach. And then afterwards, later on in this week, we're going to be learning more about the tfanois. So there's more to come by Hashem. But let us see if you'd Aleph, which is on page 178. And the halach is as follows. Mesachachin be pingo, pinogo. Not to be confused with Pinocchio. Not to be confused. So what is Pinogo? Exactly, apparently, according to the Mefarshim, what it is, it's dill. Tahniko ba'arov is shuma. Apparently, shuma in Arabic and Pinogo in another foreign language, what it is dill in English. V'umaychal ba'im, it's really animal fodder. V'im b'nei adam oichlim oisoya l'refu, and people only eat it for medical purposes. So what we've learned so far? We have learned that generally, if something is food, what's the halacha, gentlemen? Something is food, can't be used as chach. So the question, something which is food cannot be used as chach. So don't...
This is like a herb.
Oh, very good. So you're saying it's a herb.
Fruit.
Yeah. So we learned in Sif Tes was the ma'amina acholim mekablim tumah. Everything which is food is mekabel tumah. So would you say herb is, or is not mekabel tumah? So in principle, something which is a fruit, edible for humans, can be consumed by humans, the halacha should be that it's mekabel tumah. So the question of it is, this is animal food, but on the other hand, it can be eaten by humans as well. The halacha is that dill, which is meant really for animals, but yet people can use it for medical purpose, the halacha is that it is a good schach. This is very important, because a lot of our schachos, a lot of our schach that we have, is actually animal food. Think about our common bamboo. As we mentioned last week, pandas eat bamboo and maybe other animals too. So the halacha is that something which is animal food is fine. Something human food, something which is consumed regularly by humans, you don't put raschach, it's invalid raschach. But anything which is eaten by animals is okay. So that's what we're learning with. So the fact that something is eaten at times for medical purpose doesn't disqualify it. Interesting. See, base goes into the following halacha. There is a distinction which we haven't spoken so much about, but perhaps here's the point to emphasize it. There's a distinction between something which is posul, schach, and something which is no schach at all. In terms of how big the size is to invalidate it. So, the halacha is that schach posul, something which is bad schach, if you have got four tfachim of bad schach, it invalidates the whole, it's invalid. Three schach of schach posul is bottle, doesn't matter. Four tfachim of schach posul over invalidates the schach. That is the rule of schach posul. Then there's another rule of avir. Avir means literally air. Now air is worse then posul schach. Air invalidates with three tefachim already. If you've got a surface of three tefachim, which is empty, there, that's considered, it's air, and it's not schach posul, and that's posul with three tefachim as opposed to four tefachim. Now, having said this, we have to understand a distinction between schach posul and avir. Schach posul is posul schach, and avir is air. And this is what the halacha is over here. Sichech b'yirokos shemarin liyabesh. What's the halacha says Shulchan Aruch with regards to yirokos, meaning vegetables, shemarin liyabesh, which are quick to, which are going to dry out or perhaps even more disintegrate. These are yirokos, which are vegetables, which in principle should have been edible, but they are going to go and they're going to disintegrate very quickly. So the halacha is as follows: sichach beyirokos shemarin liyabesh. If you are putting vegetables aschach, which are going to be drying out and disintegrate very quickly. Really, we've learned that food is posul schach. It's posul schach because it's mekabel tumah. So ein dinam beschach posul livsel ba'abat fochim. We don't look at it as schach posul, which normally would need four tfochim to invalidate the roof, the schach. We learn schach posul is four tfachim. Elo ke'avir chashiv alivsel b'shloisha. But rather, we look at it as avir, as air, which is posul with three tfachim. So again, Rabbi Yisai, we look. There is a halacha of avir. Avir means empty, oxygen, air. Empty schach is airy. That becomes posul with three tfachim. Schach posul. Schach, which is posul schach, say you put glass there, you put metal there, that's schach posul, that requires four tefachim to invalidate this. It's four tefachim, on the four tefachim, it's bottle, it's null and void. So if you're looking at this, at these vegetables now, which we have learned, vegetables, which are really edible, it's schach posul, it's mekabel tumah. Do you need three tefachim or four tefachim to invalidate the schach? So I would have said in principle, what is it? We have said in principle, it's schach posul. Schach posul for tefachim. But here we're learning, no. This is not going to be like a general standard rule that you need four tefachim of schach posul. Rather, looking at the three, that you look at the avir, and it's going to be posul with three tefachim. Why? Why is it that yirokos shemarin liyabesh is three tefachim as opposed to four? Why is it looked at as avir? It's going to dry out. It's not, yeah, that's right. It's nothing going to be left of it. It's going to dry out and it's going to go. So we're looking at Azavi already now. If it's not going to be something which is going to dry out, such as a kind of fruit or vegetable which doesn't dry out so quickly. For instance, which vegetable doesn't go quick? Which one lasts for long? Which vegetable lasts for long? Yeah, I don't know what it is, but obviously if any that lasts for long, so dinam kischach posel. No, that's looked at as schach posel. That requires four tvachim to invalidate the schach. That's very interesting. Anything which is going to dry out within the 7 days of Sukkot is already now considered yovesh and dry, and it's already invalid. We have avir posel begimel afilu min atzat. So we're looking at it. If you've got a schach that is going to go. It's not, you're looking at it, it's already impossible already, it's invalid already at this stage now. Absolutely. It's very relative. Absolutely, yeah. See if you'd gimel. Call the one chuba and mesachin boy that we've learned already anything which is connected to the ground. You're not allowed to do schach, to use aschach, vedino kidino ilon, and it's considered like ilon. So, but it's interesting. I mean, the person can already discuss what if you put a, you stick a, wood in the ground, if there is roots growing already, it's considered like a tree. But generally, anything which is connected to the ground properly is like a tree. It's growing, and that would invalid the schach. Now, see if you dalet Rabbi Yisai, the halach is as follows: Yesh dvorim she'osu chom lesach bohem lechatchil. There are certain things which lechatchil not to use as schach, such as ve'emine asovim she'enu rilachile ve'enu mekablon tumah ve'reichom ra. Something which is any grass which are not edible, they're not mekablon tumah, but reichom ra. They have a certain odor emerging. They have got a repulsive smell. Or there's leaves falling down into your soup. V'chashinon, because we are concerned on a rabbinical level, the chashinon shem mitach shereichon ra, since it smells, oishalein noishin, or because the leaves falling down, yetzim in the sukkah, it's going out of the sukkah. Very, very interesting. Because this happens. I've been to a sukkah, it wasn't bamboo, it was old-fashioned leaves, and you could, it was maybe the second part, it was years ago, maybe the second part of sukkahs, and you could smell. It smells very nice at the beginning of sukkahs, when it's fresh, it smells very nice. But afterwards, you can sometimes have a shtickle, a bit of an odor emerging, which is not fresh. So the loch is aboisa. The loch of is as follows. If you've got a very repulsive smell coming out from the schach is posel. Similarly, if there is low leaves coming down, and whenever you're taking a spoonful of something, you could double check. Is there a leaf there? Yes or no? If there is no leaf, go for it. If there is no leaf, put it down. If you have to double check every spoonful you are taking, then this is not a great schach. In fact, it's invalid, it's posel. Because we have on a rabbinical level, we are choshesh, perhaps you're going to run out of, you're not going to have too much patience. And you're going to walk out of this sukkah. The sukkah has got to be comfortable.
It sounds like that's not mamash because of the sort of
correct. Well, look at what the Shabbos says. Sif cotton. If you did use such a schach, if the odor is so bad that you can't take the smell, it's unbearable, then it's invalid on a Torah level. The Teshuva can do, yes, it would be invalid from the perspective of Teshuva can do. I had an interesting shayla which I saw in the poskim Rabbosai. What would you say would be the loch if you have such a repulsive smell emerging from the schach, which is really bad, it really smells, but this is COVID, and somebody is affected and he cannot smell it. It's a very interesting shayla. If there is a odor emerging from the schach, but the individual who is the bar sukkah, he can't smell it. He simply can't smell it. Is this schach kosher? Yes or no? Obviously, we learned that it would be passing, but if it's a very strong smell, it would invalidate me. The schach is invalid. So I want to know what the loch would be such an instance. Kosher or no kosher?
Is that not subjective?
Problem.
I'm not sure, because Cain to do it, is that not subjective?
You saying it's subjective? For him, since for him it doesn't bother him, then it's okay.
Is Cain to do it subjective?
Yeah, I mean, we're learning that the Be'inon Teishvuka ain't to do. And for him, he's saying that's no problem. The deer is a good deer. What would you say? Good or no good? No good. So, Rabbi said, it's very interesting. I saw the poskim bring down from the Kavachaim, the poskim from the Kavachaim, that it's okay for the individual himself that he's unable to smell, it's fine. However, of course, he has to ensure not to invite anybody into his sukkah. Goes without saying. Goes without saying. Unless he invites other COVID-affected individuals. But otherwise, it's a problem. It means, you know, for the person who cannot smell it, it's not a problem. Which is interesting because the gzeira is very literally, it's not a plug or anything like that. According to the Kavachaim, we look at it very, very literally that if there is a chashash, he's going to walk out, it's invalid. If there's no chashash, he's going to run out because the smell, the chashash doesn't exist, then it's fine for him to use this sukkah. Now, I don't know what the definition, I didn't see the poskim's definition of leaves coming down. That's interesting. We're using the bamboo, so we are fine. But if you think about the leaves, every schach, which is made out of leaves, has gonna the old-fashioned leaves, there's going to be sometimes they're going to come down. How do you define, that's unbearable, that's that, you can't just, schach is apostle and everything. How do you define it? Do you look at the leaves falling down? Do you measure it according to how much is bothered? It's interesting. It's hard to measure that. Hard to measure. Because every schach is going to have a bit of things coming down. So it's not explicit in the Mefarshim. Yeah. Seif Tezvav. That's the gzeir of chavile. A bundle. Do not take a bundle and loosen it. Don't take a bundle and use bundles as a schach. Bechavila bundles. Mipnei, because shepa'omim shodemeniyah chavilos al gav asukah liyapsho. At times, a person would take the chavila's bundle and he would dry it on the roof. Liyapsho, to dry it. V'achach nimla chalei meshem sukkah. And after he said, you know what? Okay, sure. You know what? Let me leave it already for permanent purpose for the sukkah. V'oise sukkah psulim shum tasem and also b'psul. And that would be a tasem and also. Rabbi Yisai, we have to remember, see this across, that people would use the roofs. People would use the roofs. For many, many centuries, people would use the roofs for drying areas, for their fruits, for their wheats, for their vegetables. For whatever they had, the perfect area to dry ice would be on the roof. You can't dry it on the floor because everybody's going to walk on it. You can't dry your produce. You can't dry it in the field because your sheep is going to eat it. So where's the best and the safest place to dry out your produce? The answer is on the roof. You spread it on the roof. So therefore, if you have a bundle of wheat or whatever it is, or bamboo, whatever it's a bundle, and you put it on the roof, we are concerned. Don't use the aschach. It may be cut. It may be really items which are kosher for aschach. But since you're putting it on the roof, what's going to happen is you're going to put it there to dry. And then you're going to decide, oh, you know what? If it's there already, let me leave it already there. I'm going to keep it there. And you're going to leave it there. And then it's going to be a problem of tasev and also. Therefore, Chacham categorically said, don't use any bundles as chach because of this gzeir of tasev and also. For God will get chavil otu zois. For kimen shimpnei ze asu, lohu tzach leso, lebe chavil ishdech leapsho. However, this gzeir has only been said on bundles which we tend to dry. Which ones are the minik to drive? And Sbochus Mechov Hei Kanim. You've got to have 25 sticks, 25 items in it. Hilkach, Kor Chavili Shepchus Mechov Hei Kanim Mutu Lesachbo. If you've got a bundle which is less than 25 sticks, you're allowed to use Aschach because there's no Gzeira. People don't tend to dry such things. Vim Chov Hei Kanim Uyoy Saboy Megezo Echad Vekoshim Broish Tumasheni. El Nikres Chavilo Kivin Shikoron Echad. And again, if they've grown together, it's not really considered a bundle. Even if you tied it together, it's not really a bundle because they've gone one root, one stem at the beginning, and that's fine as well. But once you have attached all the sticks to it, all the reeds to it, then it would be considered chavila, and that would be gzeira. But it's got to be bundled and tied up. Rabbi Yisrael, what we've learned this evening is as follows. We went through Bli Ainor, a lot of halachas. We decided, firstly, we learned about the dill. The dill is animal fodder, and therefore it does qualify for schach. Anything which is edible for humans is a problem, but if it's purely, if it's intended for behemoths, then it's kosher. Now we also learned that any vegetables or any growing matter which tends to dry out quickly, even though it's mekabel tuma, it's not considered srach posse, it's considered avir, and it's already possible with three tfochim as opposed to four. We also learned that anything which is connected to the ground, you're not allowed to use a srach. We also learned that any smelly srach is possible. Because he's going to walk out. Similarly, if things are going to drop from the schach, that's also a problem. We also learned that a bundle of chavilas, anything which has got 25 stems or stems, 25 is possible because we're concerned it's going to open up after putting it on the roof and it's going to be tassim and also. Therefore, any bundles is invalid schach. Rabbi Yisrael is at the lochus for this evening and we shall be continuing tomorrow from Simon Tov Reish Chav Tesiv Tezayin.